Proverbs chapter 11. The walls are falling down? That's your fault. It was up before you came through. Proverbs chapter 11. And let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. Teach us it this morning. We pray, Lord, that we might hear, we might apply, and we might obey. Help us, Lord, in all things to bring you praise, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You remember that old phrase you used to hear when you were young? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Do you know, that never was true. It just really isn't true. Names do hurt, and what people say about you does hurt. In fact, some people would say, well, no, that's not true. I don't care what people say about me. The only people that say that are people that have been hurt by what people have said and now have tried to grow cold towards what others say. What people say does hurt. What you say, if you intend to slander, to blaspheme, to talk down about others, hurts others. And what others say about you does hurt if you're willing to admit it. I think there have been more people hurt, more people run down by gossip than there have been by automobiles. In fact, a gossip is a person who will never tell the truth, or excuse me, will never tell a lie if the truth will do as much damage. It's an old poem. Goes like this, very short. If we only said of others what we'd say face to face, a lot of conversation would never take place. Just remember, when it comes to what people say to you about others behind their back, they say about you behind your back. There's a Yiddish folklore that is told about people who gossip. It goes like this. One such man told so many malicious untruths about the local rabbi that, overcome by remorse, he begged the rabbi to forgive him. And rabbi, tell me how I can make amends. The rabbi sighed. Take two pillows, go to the public square, and there cut the pillows open. Wave them in the air and then come back. The rumor monger quickly went home, got two pillows and a knife, hastened to the square, cut the pillows open, waved them in the air, and hastened back to the rabbi's chambers. He said, I did just what you said, rabbi. Good, the rabbi smiled. Now, to realize how much harm you've done by your gossip, go back to the square and collect all the feathers. And that is so true of gossip. Well, these Sundays, we're looking at topics from the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom, the book that tells us how we can be wise in our daily living. And one of the topics that's covered in Proverbs, quite a bit actually, is the issue of gossip, the issue of what we say about others when they're not around. And this morning, I'd like to share with you five truths about gossip. Number one, gossip betrays. Gossip betrays. Look with me at Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 13. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. What is a gossip? A gossip is a talebearer. A gossip is a slanderer. In fact, in the book of Proverbs and throughout the Bible, the term gossip and the term slander are often brought together, often seen linked, because along with gossip goes slander, because the intent of gossip is to bring harm to somebody else. The intent of gossip is to hurt somebody's reputation or to hurt someone's character. The word gossip itself means one who trades as a peddler in scandal. It signifies a peddler who goes and buys goods at one place and then sells them at another. So a gossip picks up things in one place and then others them in another. Notice it says, whoever goes about slandering or gossiping reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps the thing covered. You know, have you ever gone to someone and said to them, yeah, I want to tell you something, but please don't tell anybody else? And then a week later, it seems like everybody knows. A gossip betrays a confidence. This word betray here means to make naked. It means to uncover and then so reveal. Confidence is a secret, something that is trustworthy. It's no longer covered. It is brought out in the open. A gossip is someone who cannot be trusted. They are not faithful. They are people who betray secrets, reveals things that ought not to be told. In fact, turn over with me to chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 19. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, therefore do not associate with a simple babbler. That word babbler is the word gossip. It's the same idea we saw back in verse 13, that a slanderer, a gossip, reveals secrets. Therefore, notice it says, do not associate with a babbler. Do not associate with a gossiper. Do not associate with a slanderer. Why? Sooner or later, they're going to reveal your secrets. Sooner or later, they're going to tell things that ought not to be told. Therefore, stay away from a babbler, a gossiper, a slanderer. Why? Because they will betray you. They will tell of you to others things that you don't want them to tell. They will tell about you to others things that you don't want anyone to know. And so often it's things that are false, and so often it's things that they tell that their only purpose, their only intent is to try to hurt you. So they go from person to person, from place to place, from phone call to phone call, blaspheming, gossiping, slandering, babbling. Things that are not to be said. Number two, not only does gossip betray, but gossip separates friends. Gossip separates friends. Turn with me to chapter 16. Proverbs 16 and verse 28. A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. You know, this is another word in the Old Testament for gossip, this word whisperer. It literally means to speak in low tones. It expresses discontent. It expresses grumbling. It is backbiting, slandering. It is gossip, and the purpose is to try to defame somebody else, and you speak in low tones because you're talking about someone who is not present, or someone who maybe is in the next room, or someone who's maybe down the hall. So you speak really quietly. And you want to make sure that they don't hear you, because you would never say it to their face. But you surely would say it when they're not there. So very quietly you begin to talk about them. And the end result is that it separates friends. The word separate means to break off, and implies the extinction of a friendship. It implies strife between those who are separated. Even close friends are separated because of gossip. Notice verse 28. A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. I have seen it happen over the years. People who used to be the best of friends now won't even talk to one another. People who used to go out all the time and do things together all the time won't even be in each other's presence. Why? Because someone gossiped, someone began to slander, someone began to backbite, and now those friends have been separated because of a gossip. You know, the reality is that often when you think of gossip, I know I'm going to get myself in trouble for this, but often when you think of gossip, you think of the two little old ladies sitting in the back of the church or sitting in the front of the church talking about others in the church. Notice I said front and back. I meant you and my wife. No, I didn't mean her anyway. You know, in 30 years of pastoring, I've never had trouble with two men gossiping. Men have other troubles. But you know, often, the truth is that it's ladies picking up the phone and talking about one another. It's ladies often creating problems with each other because they got upset about often the stupidest little thing, often the little tiny thing like, oh, that person didn't say hi to me, or that person didn't call me on the phone, or I didn't get invited to that party, or all kinds of things like that. And we take that little tiny thing, we make it a gigantic thing, and all of a sudden what happens? People who used to be friends are separated. No longer talk to one another, no longer get along with another, no longer are friends with each other. What I've also learned in the 30 years of pastoring is that most often those who gossip, they don't stop. They just keep gossiping. And often what happens is people get so tired of the gossip and they begin to realize, the gossiper, that what they end up doing is they leave that church and they go to another church. They leave that group and they go to another group. And what do? They gossip again. And once they're found out by the next group, then they go to another group. Once they're found out by that group, they go to another group. So the reality is that those of you who do not gossip, and I hope it's the vast majority of those of you who are here this morning, if I can't stop the gossiper from gossiping, then those who don't gossip need to learn how we can stop that gossiper. Because if they're going to keep gossiping, you're not going to stop them. So the way you stop the gossiper is you begin to realize what gossip does. And how gossip hurts. It betrays. If you sit and listen to the gossiper, I want you to know that gossiper sooner or later is going to gossip about you. If you allow the gossiper to tell you those juicy stories, sooner or later, that gossiper is going to separate you from your friend. So when we look at the book of Proverbs, I think it is very interesting that what it talks about in the book of Proverbs is the realities of what gossip will do in people's lives. And it gives us the reasons why we ought not to listen to gossip and the reasons why we ought to do all we can to stop gossip. So number one, it betrays. Number two, it separates close friends. Number three, I want you to notice, and I'm building up to this, it wounds deeply. Gossip wounds deeply. Turn over with me to chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. And verse 8. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. The words of a whisperer, a gossip, a slanderer, are like delicious morsels. Yeah, I have fish in my house. I have a 75-gallon aquarium. And in that aquarium, we have all kinds of animals. We have regular fish. We have starfish. We have snails. We have crabs. We all have all kinds of fish in there. And when you read all the books, it says, when you feed your fish, make sure that you only give them what they'll eat in 2 to 5 minutes. Well, I have all kinds of food to feed my fish. I have flake food. I have pellet food. I have frozen, real, dried shrimp that I can thaw out and feed to the fish. And when I take that and I grab two fingers and I put them in the fingers and I throw it in the water, you know, it doesn't last 30 seconds. It doesn't matter what I feed those fish. It doesn't matter what I give that starfish. In 2 seconds, it's gone. In fact, in my fish tank, I have an anemone. You know, the anemone like you'd see out in the ocean. And one day I start looking around my tank and I was missing a fish. So I'm looking around the tank. I can't find it anywhere. And then I look inside the anemone. You know, it has all its tentacles floating in the water. And you can see inside the anemone. And inside the anemone is this fish. It had just eaten. A couple days later, I found the fish again. It was basically a bunch of bones. It was stuck up against the filter. The anemone ate the entire fish and left the bones and spit them out. Verse 8 says, the words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. Delicious morsels. In other words, they're things that are greedily devoured. Generally speaking, people love gossip. I mean, you ever hear people say, give me a juicy story and I'll listen all day long. All you got to do is turn the TV on. What are the shows that everybody's watching? Hollywood Gossip. Go to the supermarket. What are the magazines they have by the counters? It's all the magazines that talk about the gossip you can get in Hollywood and in politics and all over the place. People love gossip. But I want you to notice something about gossip. It says here in verse 8 that it goes down to the inner parts of the body. It goes way deep down. The wounds that gossip brings in a person's life or to a group's life go very down, very deep down in a person's life. Its hurts sometimes can be so great that people have a hard time healing from them. You know, I know a number of people that hardly ever leave their home. They don't want to be part of a church. They don't want to be part of a group. They hardly ever leave their home. Why? Because somewhere along the line, someone has gossiped about them or a friend of theirs, and the hurts have gone so deep down in their life. They're afraid that it might ever happen again in their life, so afraid they don't want to get around people. The hurts that gossip causes go deep down. The hurts are great. The wounds are deep. In fact, turn over with me to Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 22. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. Notice it says almost exactly what we just read in chapter 18:8. You know, if God's word says something twice. In fact, if God's word says something once, we ought to listen. But if it says it twice, we better make sure we pay attention. Delicious morsels that go down to the inner parts of the body that hurt gravely. Gossip wounds deeply. And those stories, that gossip that you think is so great that you want to listen to that you just can't get away from, realize when that gossip's going about from house to house to house, all it's doing is hurting and hurting and hurting and hurting. Because gossip wounds deeply. Gossip wounds deeply. Number four, gossip kindles. Gossip kindles. Turn with me to chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 20. For lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no whisperer, quarrels cease. As charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. You know, if you want to keep problems going, if you want to keep strife continually, if you want to keep a quarrel lasting, all you got to do is call up the local gossip. Because if gossip is good for anything, it's good for keeping a fight going. You know, fight almost dies. It's almost gone. Everybody's forgotten about it. It's been washed away, and then the gossip picks up the phone and starts it all over again. Gossips are good for keeping a fight going. Lack of food, if you don't have wood, the fire goes out. If you don't have a whisperer, the quarrel ceases. But if you have a whisperer, the quarrel continues. Gossip not only keep the quarrel going, but they also kindle it. They also make it stronger. They also make the fire worse. Gossip can turn nothing into a forest fire. And they love telling the dirt about others. So we find these things about gossip, all of them negative, all of them hurtful, all of them that go down and wound people deeply. What does the Bible really say about it? Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 19. I want you to see that throughout the Bible, not just in the book of Proverbs, that gossip is condemned. Number 5, gossip condemned. Leviticus chapter 19. I'm sure you read Leviticus for devotions this morning. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 16. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. Don't run around slandering everybody. Don't run around slandering your people. Don't go about blaspheming, speaking negatively of others with the purpose of hurting, with the purpose, the intent to seek to destroy. The Israelites were commanded not to slander. The Israelites is part of the law. You know, there were two parts to the Old Testament law. There was the Levitical law and there was the moral law. Levitical law dealt with issues of the offerings. The moral law, which was part of the Levitical law or mingled in among it, were the moral issues that not only were true in that day, but are true for today. God's command is that we ought not to go about slandering one another. In fact, I think in our day and age, what we have been able to do is to take some sins and make them not sinful. Take some things that are wrong and make them not wrong. And if we do that, then it allows us to be able to do those things and not feel guilty, right? You know, if I were to ask this morning, and I'm not going to do it, if I were to ask who here this morning has ever committed adultery, I don't think we'd have too many hands go up, even if you might be included in that group. But if I were to ask who here this morning ever worries, I bet hands would go up and there might be a little laughing as they do. Whoever lies. Maybe even whoever gossips. But you know, in the Bible, God takes gossip and slander and things like that and equates them with some of the worst sins Christians think are imaginable. If I were this morning to ask the question, how many of you think gossip is just as bad as homosexuality? Wonder how many would agree with that. Turn your Bible to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, God lays out his grievances against mankind. They begin in verse 18. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world. And the things that have been made so that they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. God lays out the sinfulness of man, and he begins with man's idolatry, the fact that Although man knew God existed, knew God's power and God's greatness, man turned away from God and made his own gods, got involved in his own idolatry, and it led to sinfulness. Notice beginning in verse 24, down through verse 27, the Bible talks about God giving man up to, or God giving man over to, his sinfulness. And in these verses, it talks about homosexuality and lesbianism. Now, God turned mankind over to these sins, but they're not the only sins. Look at verse 28. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceitfulness, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. And Christians would shout, amen, the homosexuality, yeah, God, go get them. Amen, God, go get the lesbians. Yeah, God, go get those who are boastful and proud. God, go get those haters of God. But how about the gossips and the slanderers? Faithless and the foolish, and even those who are disobedient to their parents. See, right along with all these other sins God gave people up to, he gave them up to their own gossip, to allow them to destroy themselves by their own words. So notice that gossip is listed with those things that ought not to be done, verse 28, those things that God gave people up to because of their sin. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In the book of 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is defending his ministry. People had attacked Paul's ministry and they said it wasn't biblical, it wasn't godly, it wasn't religious, it wasn't right. They accused him of doing all kinds of evil. So Paul writes this entire book to kind of defend his ministry. And in this book, in chapter 12 and verse 19, notice what he says. Have you been thinking all along that we have been defending ourselves to you? It is in the sight of God that we have been speaking in Christ, and all for your upbuilding, beloved. For I fear that perhaps when I come, I may find you not as I wish, and that you may find me not as you wish, that perhaps there may be quarreling, jealousy, anger, hostility, slander, gossips, conceit, and disorder. Paul says, look, when I come to your church, I'm afraid. I'm afraid that when I come to your church, I might find you Christians not living the way that you ought to be living. I might find you Christians pointing your finger at the world but not looking in the mirror at yourselves. He says, I'm afraid that when I come, there might be quarreling and jealousy and anger and hostility and slander and gossip. So not only is gossip listed with the things that are done by a depraved mind, but it's listed with the things that displeases God. Things that Paul says as a pastor, as a missionary, as an apostle, these are the things that when I come to your church, I hope I don't find. And one of them is gossip. I think there are some churches that have just kind of had gossip so much happen in their church that they feel like gossip's just always going to be there, and it doesn't have to be that way. Gossip does not have to be in the church. Turn with me to 3 John. Bob read this in our scripture reading this morning, 3 John. Beginning in verse 9, he says, I've written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. This is John the Apostle, the John that wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. He says, look, I've written some things to the church, but this guy's in the church. This guy is proud. He wants to be first. He's unwilling to acknowledge the authority of the apostles. In fact, notice he says he's talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who want to and puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate evil, Diotrephes, but imitate good, John and the rest of the apostles. Whoever does good is from God, the apostles. Whoever does evil, Diotrephes, has not seen God. You know what I have found that has been interesting over the years? Is that often the gossip gossips and people listen to the gossip. But when someone comes and confronts the gossiper and points out what the gossiper is doing, it is those people that often are told are unloving. And even sometimes called a gossip. But I want you to notice in these verses, the Apostle John confronts Diotrephes in this letter to the church where he is at. And he says, look, this guy who is in your church, he's proud. He's unwilling to recognize the authority of the apostles. And he is gossiping. He's talking wicked nonsense against the apostles. John calls him evil. In fact, he says he hasn't even seen God. Doesn't have a relationship with God. So John confronts this gossiper. He draws him out. He calls him out by name. Can you imagine being listed in the Bible by name for all eternity as a gossiper? And that's exactly what John does here to this man. And he tells him not to listen to him. One more passage. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5. First Timothy chapter 5 is one of the pastoral epistles. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and the book of Titus, they were written to pastors to teach them how to pastor churches. And in 1 Timothy chapter 5, beginning in verse 3, Paul is teaching Timothy how to deal with the widows in the church. Remember those little old ladies I mentioned before? In this case, he's talking about the little old widows, the ladies. And he gives us a list of things that would qualify them to be on a widow's list, a list that the church would use for helping widows. And I find it interesting, this list that he gives that would qualify a lady for being a real woman of God. Follow with me, beginning in verse 9. Let a widow be enrolled if she's not less than 60 years of age. So I want you to know, ladies, if you are under 60, the Bible still considers you young. If you are older 60, if you are over 60, the Bible considers you older. Notice I was careful. Let a widow be enrolled if she is not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband, and having a reputation for good works. If she has brought up children, has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, and has devoted herself to every good work, but refused to enroll younger widows. For when their passions draw them away from Christ, they desire to marry, and so incur condemnation for having abandoned their former faith. Besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. So if you have a younger woman, don't put her on the widow's list. Especially because she's younger, she may desire to marry, which is fine. The Bible encourages a younger widow, if she so desires, to remarry. There's nothing wrong with that. But if this younger widow doesn't, and she just decides that she's just going to go around and live her life the way that she wants to live her life and do what she wants to do and just kind of do nothing, there's the very possibility, with nothing to take her hands up with, she's going to end up becoming, verse 13, a gossip and a busybody. And she becomes a gossip and a busybody. He says, look, don't put her on this widow's list. So what do we do with the gossip? Let me give you a couple of quick thoughts. Never believe anything bad about anybody else unless you positively know it's true. You know, over the years, people have said things about me, and others have come up to me, and they've said to me, Pastor, someone said this about you. Is it true? And others haven't given me that ability. They've just believed the gossip and ran with the gossip and said, well, the gossip said it. It must be true. My response is, don't you know who I am? You've known me all these years. Do you really believe I would do that? And that's the exact same thing you ought to ask your friends. If you have a close friend and someone begins to gossip about you and they're running around that gossip, go to the ones who have been gossiped to and go to them and say, hey, don't you know who I am? Do you really think I would do that? Number two. Never tell even what you know to be true about someone else, unless it is absolutely necessary. Understanding that God is listening. In other words, if you know dirt about somebody else, if you know some things about somebody else that aren't good, keep them to yourself. Unless you absolutely feel it's absolutely necessary to tell them. Otherwise, keep them to yourself. Number three, always go back to the horse's mouth. Always go back to the horse's mouth to check things out. Do you know, I'm sure you're not going to believe this. I have a hard time believing myself. But do you know that people lie? Yeah, they really do. In fact, people can get things wrong. And I know you don't believe that, but people really can get things wrong. They can get the story wrong. Always go back to the horse's mouth. Someone comes and says something to you about somebody else, say to the person who just came to you, you know what, I'm going to go check your story out. Find out if it's true. In fact, if you want to take it an even step further, don't listen to a gossip. If you know someone has a habit of gossip, don't listen to them. There's an old saying that goes like this: a gossip usually knows where to take their garbage. Avoid making your ears someone else's garbage can. In fact, I would say this: confront the gossiper. If someone comes to you and they want to talk down about somebody else, they want to slander someone else, they want to blaspheme somebody else, put your arm around the gossiper's shoulder and say, you know what? That's a pretty bad thing that they're doing. How about you and I go back to that person and confront them about what they're doing? And watch how quick the gossiper backpedals. And all of a sudden begins to say, well, I don't want to cause any trouble. Well, I don't want to get anyone's feelings hurt. then why did you say it to begin with? Many years ago at Moody Church, a news was carried around by a great gossip. She had visited the Chicago Daily News wearing a white dress, and she actually leaned back against the press. And on her white dress that she was getting ready to go to church with, on the back of that dress was the press from the Ink with all the news of the day. She walked down the street. Behind her, she could hear people laughing as she went down the street. So she turned and she asked her husband, "Is there anything on my back that doesn't belong there?" And he looked and he saw the Daily News that had been printed on the back of her dress. And realizing the appropriateness of the words, he said to his wife, "There's nothing back there that doesn't belong there. Just stuff that's usually there." I would hope you would realize by God's word that gossip is never good. Gossip only hurts. In fact, gossip hurts so bad it goes down deep within a person and even causes many people never to leave their houses again because they've been hurt by the pain of gossip. Don't listen to a gossip. In fact, when you know you got a gossip, just stay away from them. Let them learn the sinfulness of their actions. Let them be put out by themselves where they can't hurt anyone with their gossip. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the truth of your word. And we pray, Lord, that we realize the great hurt that comes from gossip. Help us, Lord, to make a commitment within our own heart never to be part of gossip, but to confront it, to stop it by not listening to it. Help us, Lord, not to be slanderers or blasphemers or backbiters or gossips. Help us, Lord, only to say those things that will build others up, that will help others become more biblical, even if sometimes we have to do that by confronting their sin. And I pray, Lord, as we leave this morning, not one single gossip would leave this building. But all of our lives, all of our hearts might be made right with you so that you might bring praise and get praise from the things that come from our lips. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. This time we'll ask our ushers to come forward as we take